All right, it is now 7 o'clock. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-chair Charette.
Yes.
Co-chair Lennon.
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlick.
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos. Commissioner Hoyt.
Here.
Commissioner Marty.
Yes.
Student Commissioner Steerwalt. We have 5 voting members present. We do have a quorum. First item of business is public comment. We have no one on the Zoom, no one here, and I've received no comments in advance. So we will move on to adoption of the December 9th meeting minutes.
I just have two typos that I already passed along to you. Do I need to say them out loud?
Nope.
Okay.
So we just need a motion to adopt with the typos identified.
Also move.
Do we have a second?
I will second.
All right. Co-chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlick?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Commissioner Marty?
Yes.
Minutes are adopted. Moving on to commissioner updates, if anyone has anything.
I'd like 2 things, just real quickly. The first one is it'll be an extended weekend for Martin Luther King Day, and the Forest Preserve of Cook County is having like some workday events happening all over Cook County this weekend. And one is happening at Evans Field in River Grove nearby from 12:30 to 2:30. So I just thought I'd put it out there for anyone who's interested. I haven't looked at the weather yet, but I'm hoping it's not totally miserable, and should be something nice to do over the long weekend. Also, the Planet Green Leadership Forum, I think, happened like pretty soon after our last meeting. So I was there along with Seth and Manolo. It was really great to hear from lots of other organizations and institutions in our surrounding area. And we also did some breakout groups towards the end of the session. So I was in the energy group. And like one common takeaway that we were talking about as a group was the importance of, getting people who are not already singing with the choir. Like, how do we get people engaged in making their home more energy efficient or adopting, energy efficient practices into their everyday life? And like making those stories and those actions digestible. So I know that's something we've definitely talked about in here, but I thought it'd be a useful frame of reference, like for the new year, and this commission, to always think about, because I always find like with sustainability conversations, that's such an important, thing, because I'm always kind of the idea of, there's people that are really into, adopting sustainability, and there's some who just don't really know a lot about it or don't understand. So helping to make things reach far and wide, kind of across the lines of the bubble and everything, are important. So, yeah.
Ben, what day was the work at Evans Field?
Oh, it's on this upcoming Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
Yes. So I met yesterday with Renee Patton, who's the sustainability coordinator of the Forest Preserve of Cook County, as well as Adam Kessel. And I guess I asked for the meeting once I learned that there was such a person in this position. She has been in the role for 2 years. Prior to that, it was a shared position with other policy things, and the person didn't really have time to dedicate themselves to sustainability issues. But they have a very impressive agenda in terms of what they're trying to do. And I guess the one of the most relevant thing for River Forest or this area is that they've just done a complete remodel of the headquarters and made it much more sustainable. It's an old building. So she said that, they're not going for LEED designation, but they've done everything they can. They still need to replace the windows. I believe they're employing heat pumps, and they are slated to have an EV charger there to port by the end of this year. And there's they have plans throughout the forest preserves. I do not believe there's not one at the pavilion or trail sign. And I guess the other thing that she told me that I was very, there was a lot, and there's an annual report that came out last year. There's another one that'll come out within the next few months. So if anyone wants to look in more detail, but they were talking about how they were bringing down emissions. And one of the things they've been most successful at is for transportation, which has been halved. And that was largely by replacing some garbage trucks that, you know, she characterizes getting prior to that below 5 miles per gallon. And now they have, I believe, a couple of electric ones. And so they've really come down a lot in that. And have implemented a compost program at the nature centers. It's also available at the pavilion, but they're having a hard time having the people that are using the pavilion to actually employ it. But anyways, a lot of exciting things going on in the forest preserve. And the basic reason for our meeting was just to say, you know, we are here and available and happy to coordinate with you. We touched on the Bird City, didn't go into that in any detail, but, you know, hopefully we'll just open communication so that there can be more collaboration going forward.
I mean, I have some stuff to say, but I don't know if it's better to wait till it's like the agenda items.
Yeah. So yeah, we can get into the next items of business. So yeah, I've just been leaving the Bird City and native plant discussions. I have Bird City first on there if we want to get into that. Did you want me to pull up the spreadsheet
just
at all?
To reflect the changes we've made. Maybe that's a good start. It'll be brief too, because I want to talk about the normal. That's interesting.
Okay.
So, based on our last meeting, I've made some changes to the project plan that we built, and that is in regard to color coding. So that the color of each major action is now matched with the color on the Gantt chart that you're looking at. So if you go to the individual items on the second page, Seth, scroll down. You get it. There you go. Yeah, that looks like the old one.
Sorry, he's talking. I think he's talking about the. He's talking about this section.
There you go. Right. So the at Susan's suggestion, we've color coded the action items on the detail calendar to match the colors on the Gantt chart. So it's a lot easier for someone to see what's going on there.
Like you.
Yeah, okay.
I'm slow.
Yeah. And the second thing we did, and this was at Commissioner Hoyt's request, is create a calendar based version of this. And I don't know how user friendly that is. I would want to get some feedback on that. So there was a second file, Seth, that I sent you. So for every calendar month in 2026, starting with actually December 2025, each day on the calendar now has a listing of all the activities that are active for that day. So that turns out to be pretty complicated. It's overwhelming a little bit. So I need to figure out a way to eliminate the everyday occurrence and make it a little more user-friendly to
Could
read.
Could you just do start and end dates?
That's what's in the actual data. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, Excel translates that as every day I'm going to be doing this. So I need to work on that a little bit. If not, maybe even reproduce it manually, because this is a little crazy. So,
well, thank you for the attempt.
Mm-hmm.
I... Yeah,
I'll get it taken care of.
It would be helpful for me, and that doesn't mean it would be helpful for anybody else, but it would be helpful for me if we just maybe go through and have a master of the creative, because we've been checking off on this action list what we've done, but let's create a master that lists what we've done regardless of what we're going to submit. And then as we advance, and a separate column of things that we know we want to do, such as migratory bird event, we need to plan something for that day, proclamation, those will be on another page or column. And then there may be other things, I suspect, that we tick off as we go. I can think of some that in my own head, and I can communicate them to you and to the commission, and then you just add them to the list.
So let me ask you a question. So on the version that Seth has up there, that is the what we want to do is in the section we're looking at right now. Right?
So just like a way to like mark off, like once we've got the
can
we proclamation done. And
Maybe prioritize. So
sure.
Let's one thing at a time. Perhaps, somehow or another.
Well, one thing I would suggest is we change the color, right? Because down at the bottom are those three things that we know we've completed, or that I knew we had completed already, or that we already qualify for. So maybe we move items down into that section.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
As they're complete?
As they're complete.
Or like, even if they're accomplished, you know, wherever, just throw them down there.
Yes.
So that we can see the totality of what
we've done. Everything everything that we can claim as complete, we should put in that.
Things like this, like as the proclamation gets drafted, as the document plan just sort of.
Yeah. And I think there are things on the Bird City application that we can add to the complete section already beyond those three.
And
I suspect.
I took a stab at that. I have only gotten through Habitat. And I will, I was going to send these to you.
Yeah.
But I thought we could bring them up too, just so that we're clear about what. And then I also wanted to CC David, but then that gets me into trouble if I haven't brought it up at this meeting. So what I'm going to do is I'll send it to you. I'll CC Seth and I'll BC you, and you're not to respond to anybody. That's how we get around that.
Okay. I get it.
I thought, you know, just make that clear. But anyway, so. Yeah. So this is just in the Habitat section, but and also I needed Seth here to make sure that things are actually true. So I believe we signed the Mayor's Monarch Project.
Yes. Yeah. I.
Do you have a date on that?
So we started that last March or April. I would need to look at the exact date.
2025.
Like we got the full sign off of it, like the year end, like. Yes, we certify you've completed this in December
2025.
Okay. And then I actually just got a email this week last week asking if we'd like to participate in it again. So
okay. So we can list that one. The Tree City, this is just more detail on that. So I went and found it on the website. We have had that designation since 1998. In addition, the Village River Forest was awarded level one accreditation by the ARBNET Arboretum. Ooh, I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing this. Accreditation program from Morton Arboretum. We could probably come up with a date on that too. That was several years ago. You were here then, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that checks off a separate box from for day one.
It's really just more detail. I would include that in the 1.1.5, in the same thing with Tree City, because it's just another designation.
We could just list it as a sub item.
Yeah,
it will just be two items under that one. And then for the Create and Protect Habitat, I thought our best matches for that was actions that the Forest Preserve has taken. And so let me get out my thing here, 1.2.1, which I think is, well, it's just, that's create or,
yeah,
that one. Document a recent project that created or restored bird habitat in your community. How many acres or square footage did that include? So that's the demonstration garden northeast of the pavilion. And we can get, I looked on the Forest Preserve website, but there are no details on that. So we can just get the details from them on that. So that's 1.2.1. And then 1.2.2, Public demonstration garden. Yeah, so the first one is the NOMO areas. That's a more recent project and is, you know, sort of less developed. But the public demonstration garden is the actual garden that they have there. That's 3 to 4 years old. Again, we can get details on that. And and the nice thing about that is it does include, it's in a pretty prominent location given that it's right next to the pavilion, and it does have signage. So that's a nice one for that. And then under promote native plants 1.3, I thought that would be a good place to put in our pollinator garden program, which ran from 2018 to 2020 with 55 pollinator gardens on the parkways. And then this one might be a little bit more of a stretch, but on work with local growers and suppliers to increase the supply of native plants, I thought we could include the Roosevelt native plant sale.
Happy. I was not planning to run that this season, but I guess, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, all I have to do is state that it happened over the last 2 years. It has happened.
I don't think you have to repeat everything every year.
No, it's just more like things that you've done.
Not over for good, just a hiatus maybe this
fall. Yeah,
this
yeah. Other
That's fine with me.
And we could look for other ways to.
While we're running through these, can I throw a few things in?
Let me just finish this section, okay. And there might be more. And then the section dropping down to 1.7, assure clean water in the natural waterways. I thought maybe there we could include under stormwater management programs, the bioswales and the permeable pavement projects. So, because, you know, by mitigating the stormwater. So that's as far as I got. I'll send that and then I'll keep working through some of the other sections. But I think this is one of the ones that we were particularly strong in.
I think this is great. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. And then something that I met with the Roosevelt people this week, and the garden there that has been going for a decade or more, 5 years that I've been involved, but I think it was going maybe 15 altogether with Mr. Cadlick. So the Roosevelt Middle School Native Garden, I think, would be another thing that should be included as something involving the community in 1.2 or 1.3 somewhere.
Promote native plants. And I think we could include in that the garden at Lincoln School as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
How about 1.2 by 0.1? Would it fit?
I don't know. I would, let's put that in 1.3, promote native plants.
Okay.
Okay, no, never mind. Maybe I think you're right. That's good. Yeah, where your suggestion.
What was your, to put it where?
1.2.1.
1.2.1.
Or two.
I guess.
We've got two.
Okay, so
we've got one for two that okay. Two's in rec. So.
Yeah. I guess the only issue I would have with that one is on the word recent, since you're. Is the word recent.
It's ongoing. I mean, they're working on it every year. Okay. I know Ben planted some plants there last fall.
So. Okay. Well, I don't think it's a problem if we highlight more things. It's a good chance to put in one document all the things that have been done. So we can find a place for that somewhere.
Yeah, the more the merrier.
Yeah. And we can move stuff around if we need to.
Sure.
Yeah, I know Public Works provides the compost for the your dad reaches out every year to get a load of it for the middle school. So
oh, okay. That's it. Now, where would that go?
Promote that's just part of a garden project. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm sure that could
to show that it's ongoing in the
yeah. I had the opportunity to meet with the Sustainability Club at Roosevelt, and I think we're going to recruit them in a citizen science project, which I think.
Yeah,
that's the theme of this year.
Great, jump to that. There's one quick question on that, Chris. Yeah. One, good job. But do the dates tie, particularly we have an approval, do they tie to what the meeting cadences? Like if we have to approve something here or the board has to approve something, do those dates tie? With
on them? The board level, yes.
Okay, but how about flowing through here?
Because, no. Okay. So we need to add that. Then.
Yeah, well, the dates need to tie to it.
So I can add a column for the commission.
Or as long as the dates are tied to it, it's my only concern.
Yeah.
How I've sort of read it is just on a monthly basis to look at it of which month something would need to come to this commission. So the Migratory Bird Proclamation probably anticipate action next month on that. I think potentially begin to discuss the Lights Out program as well, just looking at this. And then, you know, as we get later on, we'd have the resolution ready for our June commission meeting to then go to the board in June or July.
When I put this together, what I did was leave plenty of time for that to take place, but I didn't assign a date to it, Gary.
Yeah, I just want to make certain, though, that kind of, like April 1st, but we didn't see it in March.
Right.
That's my concern.
Yeah. So would a better way to do that to... So see under Village Proclamation, it says send to Village Board. That was my estimation of the date that we would need to do that. Right?
Which would take it really... When do they meet, Seth? So that would push that one, for example, out into March, right?
So they meet... typically, it's the second and fourth Mondays. Right? So we meet the second Tuesday. So typically, if we were to enact something, that would either go, for example, with the proclamation, the February 1, that would go either then or the first meeting in March, which would...
whatever date that is.
Be still in advance of the...
As long as these things align cadence-wise, so they're done when you need them to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for example, in February, we would meet on the 10th. And the board is on, would be on the 9th, right?
So yeah, they would meet.
By definition, that stuff gets pushed into March. And if it doesn't matter, that's...
It could potentially also be done, like go to the board on the 24th.
24th, yeah.
Yeah, I guess if we're going in early May, if the board could approve... in April, however, whenever that is. So we would get it to them at whatever meeting would be
March.
March.
Yeah.
Would another way of going at this, instead of adding specificity, removing it? So like, I feel like this would be easier to read if the date just said 6/26, and then be easier for us to, you know, at each meeting we look forward and we say like, okay, these are the things that need to go.
I'm confused now.
So
say it again.
So on the third column, instead of saying like 11/15/25, it just says 11/25. And then
okay, so you want to designate just the month.
Just the month. And then since we meet monthly, and then when we look at it, we can just... it's always easier to scan a row of numbers when they're fewer. So we just look ahead and we say like, okay, this is what we need to do for February. Seth tells us when the meetings are. We say like, okay, let's do that. Instead of getting like super specific about...
I feel like I'm getting two different versions.
No, you are. It's two different ways of going at it.
All I'm saying is just make certain they align with the right month, and then...
Okay.
So you're just saying how you pick it out of it.
Sure. Yeah, I'm just saying if when we're looking down here, if it just said the month, then we would scan down, you know, so like this time we would scan down and we'd say like, okay, what needs to be done for February? Boom, boom, boom. We talk to Seth. We, you know, instead of adding, so it just seems like it's a lot of time on your part to be matching this.
It's really not.
Oh, okay.
But if you want to see it that way,
it's also easier. It's also
we can present it that way.
It's also easier to digest because since they aren't in chronological order, and I'm not suggesting that either. It's just easier for us to jump ahead and say like, okay, these are the ones that are in February. What do we need to do at our January meeting to be prepared for February?
So the chart itself then that Seth just went to is going to be monthly. It's going to reflect months instead of weeks or days.
Yeah, each vertical line is... looks like this is, a month. So
yeah, but I guess I mean on the side as well. That's what I'm talking about.
That's where I would do it.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying. Just like drop the actual date.
If the model will allow me to either that or I'll pick the first day of the month.
Okay,
and that might be the
same,
easiest.
Which is the same. Oh, so you're saying that might not let you just say
it won't. But if I just say 11-1
first, let me just look down.
And then the completion date will be.
I mean, as long as you're doing that, if you can, you could drop the 26 also, because these are all going to happen this year. But anyway, I don't know how the program works, so those would be my suggestions.
Yeah. I'll figure it out.
I think easier when we're looking at something quickly, less what's there, the easier.
Okay. I hear you.
And it might be helpful to prioritize the things that need to go to the board, you know, just at the top. And then the other things we're working on that are kind of fluid, maybe they'll happen, maybe they won't. Lower down.
Okay.
But thank you for a brave attempt.
You have one more question. What do these numbers, you can't see it where Seth put it up, but what do these numbers at the very end mean? That the topics are blue, red, green, and then there are various numbers.
That is simply the number of days that elapse for individual line, a task on each line, which drives the Gantt chart at the top.
Okay.
Right.
So this is something that's just for this.
That's just model stuff.
Okay.
That doesn't really mean anything to. Okay.
It's not really
interesting. And I can't hide it because then the chart won't work.
Oh, well.
As somebody who spends a lot of time in spreadsheets, I understood it immediately.
Good. Rude spirit.
Yep.
I wanted to, if I can introduce a change, slight change of theme.
Before you change the theme, I just want to note that Normal's application was quite impressive.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that I
is that a good segue to your next thing?
I want to kind of stay in River Forest for a little bit on this and then get to Normal, if that's okay.
Yeah.
But I agree completely. I've kind of pivoted in how I'm thinking about one of the initial proposals that I threw out there, which was this Nighthawk habitat conservation. Which I've been focused on, has been focused on rooftop habitat. And that I think, and I'm sure it won't be a surprise to anyone, I think is a heavy lift. And so, although I think it's important to still try to kind of build awareness on the importance of rooftop habitat in the community, that's going to take a while. And I thought what has been a little bit more successful is building up some interest in the Nighthawk population monitoring project. So this is citizen science, and it's in line with the theme of this year's Bird City program, which is precisely citizen science. And so I've approached the OPRF sustainability group, talked to Ms. Wong, the group sponsor, and looking forward in February to speaking with that group to try to kind of set that up, introduce the students who seemed at least some of them and interested. And then we have some potential interest at Triton. And then this week I met with Roosevelt, where we have Mr. Cadlick and also a middle school sustainability club that's very enthusiastic. And so they also are very interested in participating in a citizen science project over the course of the season in which we monitor Nighthawks in the area. And I think this could be useful because there's a long running 5 or 6 year project in the city, but it does not address the suburbs. And I've also reached out to, and this connects to the Normal application. I've reached out to what was formerly known as Chicago Audubon. They've changed their name. They're now Chicago Bird Alliance. But the former president of the Chicago Bird Alliance, who's deeply involved in a lot of these projects, is an acquaintance of mine. And I want to talk to her about setting up the actual protocols and parameters of a real kind of rigorous sort of observational protocol, so that come April, we can have observers in designated spots and we can go and we can get data. And then if down the road, we are able to then look at this data and give it to relevant bodies who can, use it, analyze it, I think we'll be in a better position to make arguments to the effect that, hey, rooftop habitat is important. What, how can we begin to think about green roofs, advocating for green roofs, converting to green roofs, you know, what have you. I think the science might need to come first, and the awareness and the education. And that's where I think this kids, the students are very helpful. Susan has pointed out on numerous occasions that the young people bug their parents about these things. And that's a great conduit, I think, for propaganda, if you will. On another note, at the same meeting with those kids, and this is where I wanted to suggest that we may have, we may be able to tick off 2.2, which is close to my heart, address collisions with glass. I know Chris and I have talked about this, but we don't have anything very concrete on this. Now, I was talking to the kids and just spontaneously, your dad was there, I think. He probably told you about this. Yeah, well, no, he wasn't at the actual meeting with the kids. Spontaneously, a sixth grade girl, you know, what's your experience with birds? And she would tell me about, oh, they fly into our window. And then they leave a little circle of feathers. And dad says, oh, that's too bad, but we can't do anything. And okay, so right there, there's some education that can happen and probably should happen. But we began to talk further. And one of the other students said that, you know, at recess, the kids are at Centennial Park. The kids, you know, are not infrequently finding bird carcasses. So we're setting up some kind of arrangement with the superintendent there, the guy that, you know, Mr. Hernandez, he kind of goes out in the morning and sweeps up to inform us of what he finds, if he's the first one. And then some PSAs in the school, letting the students know that if they went out and about, find a carcass, tell a couple, Mr. Cadillac, Ms. Yelnick, what have you. And then all that information, hopefully with a picture and a location, will get sent to me. I can keep a list. And then we can begin to track the mortality associated with Roosevelt. And I would think, I'm thinking particularly of the gymnasium, the North Gym, which has no, which has large windows and no, what do you call it? Protective features applied. And I found just as recently as a couple of days before Christmas, I found a dead dark-eyed junco like a few yards from the building. So I think there's mortality going on there. There's mortality occurring in the neighborhood. We can check off, and the kids, the club, want to sort of develop some information, some communication that would, I think, qualify, you know, satisfy 2.2.1. And then also the citizen science, where was that? Promote scientific research and monitoring. So 3.6.1, that's in the works. Just so you know. So basically those are the sort of the parties that I'm trying to bring together in this undertaking. A lot of them are students. I think that's great. But, you know, following from the normal Illinois application, which was strongly led by the local bird club that I'm familiar with, you know, I thought it would be good to bring in the Audubon group if we can, you know. So hopefully I'll see you guys in February. We can talk about Nighthawks. We can talk about glass. We can talk about setting volunteering for the monitoring project, which shouldn't be too taxing. It's like, yeah.
Isn't there an existing product, which is pretty straightforward? Like they put it on the McCormick Center. Is that something we can lobby for at this problematic gym?
Yeah, and I think that will be easier once we have data. I haven't looked at the numbers. I mean, these things are always a question of, you know, resistance because of additional cost. But I've been told that it's not that expensive to put these kind of adhesive sheets on that are what they call fritted, and they have a matrix of, so when we get to that point, and I was hoping Manolo would be here because it would be nice to start a conversation with his mother about how to present this to the board, at what point, in what fashion, simply first the data, and then begin to discuss, you know, how we would go about this. Because I think everybody likes wildlife. Nobody likes unnecessarily killed wildlife, and especially birds. And if you present an organization, an institution, with the fact that they have infrastructure that's causing bird mortality, it's embarrassing and probably disturbing and potentially humiliating if it were to become public. Which
I think near the school, you can also make a health risk argument, because kids are curious and they're likely to pick up birds, and that's not an ideal situation, right?
That's throw everything at the wall, I guess. Yes.
I had a question real quick about the Nighthawk monitoring.
Yeah.
So are you still thinking about kind of longer term spring projects?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Have you had a chance to talk to Sheldon?
Yeah, I talked with him a bit informally about it, and he mentioned he's met with you about it. So yeah, he's excited to bring it as a part of his curriculum in the spring.
Okay, that's great. So we would just need, again, you know, that would be kind of like on this list, like as I guess we develop a sense of, from the scientific end, how it needs to be set up, then we can come to him and say, can you give us the manpower?
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. At a certain time.
I was wondering about that too, across like all these different locations. Is it going to be a uniform kind of observation manual or protocol for how the data is being collected?
Yeah, I think that would, the way these things work is it's got to be like a certain period of time at a fixed location that's, you know, we determined beforehand. Some things will count, what counts, what doesn't, what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll hopefully, well before the time the season arrives, we will kind of have a list. We can train our volunteers, and again, it shouldn't be too taxing, like one or two times.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. I was just wondering about that specifically, given like, you know, we've got students at Triton and then like students at the middle school, something that they can both, you know, do.
And it's possible, given the different schedules, that, you know, maybe the Triton kids, I don't know what the school year is like for them, but if there's a, you know, if they're out and then they can't, you know, we see the, you know, their manpower drops, you know, maybe the OPR, a couple of volunteers from OPRF can step up, or community citizen volunteers like myself or something. So we can, like, you know, cover for each other. But if there's a date that you, by which you need to know how this is all going to work, let me know.
Okay.
Just to help me, and we can put it in the,
I just have a question. If these are relatively rare, there's going to be a lot of, we went out for 2 hours and heard nothing, right?
I hope not. But that is also a finding. So
I'm just thinking that our students might get a little frustrated by, you know,
just reminding
us. You might be able to throw in some other birds just for interest. So,
sure.
That, you know, because if they keep, we've been out 5 times and we haven't heard any.
Well, my hope is to design the observation sites at places of known activity, right? And I don't think we'll need 100 people. I mean, it may just be like a half a dozen. And if we're going all summer, you know, if AJ's on vacation for 3 weeks, then someone else can fill in and we'll get it all worked out. And, there may be nights when there's nothing. And, sometimes no evidence is evidence.
Owl calls.
I think it'll be good too for, you know, and that's meaningful to students to just examine where are they most likely to be and learn about that and understand the desired habitat, And then if, you know, if there's nothing there, but that will still, I think, at least be helpful or interesting, you know, engaging to learn about that and see that, oh, there is habitat here and there's potential for, you know, for nighthawk nesting is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the whole story, if we publicize it, and I've shared the, an idea with Susan of writing a letter, at least maybe one, perhaps more, to the Wednesday Journal, kind of outlining what we're trying to do. So the public, the community is aware of it, and just like an initial announcement, introduction of the project, to kind of help people realize that there is this wildlife among us, and here's how we kind of suss it out. So. Would you like to talk about the normal application?
Sure.
Yeah, Susan, she pointed out a couple months ago that the last municipality to achieve Bird City, Illinois application was Normal, Illinois. That happens to be my hometown. I know the mayor, I know the bird club, whatever. So I contacted City Hall, and I spoke with the planner, the woman who actually was behind the application. She wrote it. She drove it through. She's also treasurer for the Bird Alliance down there, and is totally open to like further assistance, you know, if we have any questions. But you saw the application. I think it's a very progressive community, as you see. They have a couple of long-standing projects regarding like habitat enhancement, green infrastructure, what have you. And an interesting parallel, they were able to just at the time of the grant land or at the application land a big grant from State Farm, which has its HQ down there, and do a big kind of big restoration, which is beautiful. And you know, depending on how things go, which if we do pull in a grant from either Missouri Prairie Foundation or Open Lands, you know, I think we should definitely include that in here as a potential project. But yeah, that was my impression. So I'd be interested to hear what you guys thought.
It was nice to see it having been done, right? What does the application look like when it's complete? The thing that struck me in reading it is that Normal has a lot more real estate.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So the scale is different.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
But it's educational to see the completed document. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the takeaway for me was, okay, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah. And again, I guess what I took away from it and what I would try to accomplish here is that it was a kind of a the community participated in this project. So it's not just half a dozen people sitting in a room in an official building, kind of sending something to the mayor. You know, there was actually on the ground organization on the part of the Bird Club, but also I think the general community was surveyed as to their preferences on a number of the actions that they took. And yeah, I like that. So yeah, I guess if there is an analogy for us, although I'm going to try to pull in like Chicago Bird Alliance just for, I think, the kind of legitimation and potential expertise, the nearest analogy to having that kind of support would be for us, the Forest Preserve. And that's kind of, I mean, it'd be easy to say that like everything the Forest Preserve has done in Cook County, like we get credit for, but, you know, no, I think things in Thatcher Woods, you know, are legitimate. And,
yeah. Yeah. Things the Forest Preserve has done within the village boundaries
right.
are,
right.
Yeah, because a lot of these things, like as you pointed, we're different community organizations doing things. And I thought it was helpful, like Chris said, to like see how the it's organized, but also just like get a concrete example of what the community event was, which is always like,
yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah. And I'm open to, I mean, I would love for discussion on that to kind of, if someone wanted to head that up or give ideas on that, you know, that's something we should probably start thinking about too.
Yep.
Yeah, I would say for that, you know, I think along the lines of what Seth was just saying, is there is a lot that happens within the you know, boundaries of River Forest through the Forest Preserve, and specifically Trailside Museum, you know, has birds there, you know, for the purpose of, I think, rehabilitation or at least education for the, you know, those who visit to see these birds and learn about them. So I think for the community event, I think it would be crucial to incorporate Trailside and the space and expertise and you know just experience doing that.
Now that you mention that, since I myself have spent hours doing this, volunteering at Thatcher Woods for their like monthly work days, which a lot of community members come out to. There was just one this past weekend was canceled because of that horrible weather, but we should include that. So the monthly community work days to improve our immediate bird, you know, natural habitat in Thatcher Woods, which, you know, brings people from around the area, but is in our community. So I would include that in our list of actions.
I think the Forest Preserve would be a natural partner for the bird event, with the only caveat being their planning is so far out that, you know, for something for April, it would kind of have to get ironed out like now.
What I've seen in looking at some of this stuff is that the library is also a focal point. And in our community, I mean, that's kind of the role the library plays. So I think those two locations, you know, so yes.
And like the Forest Preserve, the library also plans out, you know, quite a bit in order to get their stuff into print. So if that's something we wanted to do, we should do that right away.
Okay, let's do that. Who would like to do that? You have a good relationship. You have an ongoing, long-standing relationship with Forest Preserve. Would you like me to talk to the library and you can talk to the Forest Preserve, at least about the calendar aspect of it?
But we should talk first, because we, you know, if it was going to go in the calendar, we would have to know exactly what we're going to say. Okay. You know, it's not enough to, well, maybe it's enough, but they would probably want a little bit of a, I guess it could be general, but yeah, if we wanted something in April, I think we'd have to get it down. And we already have, you know, we already have the agreement and everything else. So it's just the following date. Through on that. Yeah, the have, date and what exactly it would
have part of next month's meeting potentially be working through sort of developing the concept of what the event will be,
right,
to then reach out to either the Forest Preserve or the library. Yeah. I will note that the Migratory Bird Day is typically, I think it's the second Saturday in May.
Yeah.
It's like but it looks like they had theirs the 24th. So a couple weeks after that. And I know with the second Sunday in May, it's Mother's Day, which is always, you know, hard to do an event on that weekend anyway.
Right.
So I think it, and I know we've, with Tree City USA, you know, it's our annual public event is just a tree planting ceremony at one of the schools. And it's, you know, never on Arbor Day. It's just whichever day, whichever school site works out for the best. So,
okay.
We do have sort of flexibility on when we want to do that event. And
so you're saying the Forest Preserve's Migratory Bird Day was a little later? Is that what?
Normals was last year.
Normals. Okay. Yeah.
Did I say Forest Preserve yet?
No, I didn't know what you were referring to.
Yeah, so I think it needs to be in recognition of the day, but it doesn't need to be held strictly on the day.
Okay, so do we want to here as a group pick the date for that, or should we do that separately?
No, I mean, I think if Forest Preserve is going to host it, then they can...
They give us a date?
Yeah.
And maybe it could be a separate date for the library. They give a festival
asked about.
Yes. Okay. We'll yeah. talk further.
Yeah.
Right, so with the Bird City stuff, just immediate coming actions, we will get proclamation ready. I'll get that drafted for next month's meeting. Looking through here, may have some questions just with people separately offline with everything. If anything else needs to be come to next month's meeting, the other major thing we'll be planning out, sort of the concept of what the event will be, and then an outreach strategy for.
The one other thing that may be helpful to come before the board would be the Lights Out.
Oh yes, the Lights Out proclamation
statement, and I don't know what that would consist of. It could be a statement of, you know, support, sympathy, or commitment to certain actions. So, but that should probably be part of the package that comes, that is like approved or whatever by the application.
Come at the same time as the proclamation.
And, do you have any sense of when, or I mean, would you like us to give you something, or?
I think anything you got, feel free to shoot my way. I know we've sort of pulled the Oak Park proclamation,
Chicago,
sort of a base template, and it looks like theirs was pretty much
plagiarized from Chicago. Yeah.
That's something I'll start to pull together over the next month, and then I'll just probably shoot something to the two of you, sort of offline, to look at and get it ironed out, so we can bring it to the full commission at next month's meeting.
And then separately, you know, I hope to talk to somehow or another get it before the D90 board. So that they could also, I think it would be good to have an institution independent of City Hall supporting it.
Yeah.
So.
And again, the library might be willing to do that too.
Yeah.
Maybe in conjunction with Roosevelt.
Do you happen
to? And this would be the voluntary Lights Out
voluntary
program.
Lights Out,
During migration.
Roosevelt actually doesn't have a whole lot. They've got that one light that you pointed out. They also have upward facing decorative illumination on their gymnasium. Wouldn't be hard to dim that. So stuff like that. Does anybody happen to know the library director?
No.
Next item is the native plants. Let's see here. David had sent over the Missouri Prairie Foundation's grant application, which I did include in the packet. And then I did send around the ComEd Open Lands one. Two very different applications in terms of scope, but wanted to just share those with all of you and open that up for discussion. Couple just quick notes. David had sent a plan for the properties across the street here.
Excuse me. It was an idea, not a plan.
Yes. Yes.
But it sounds like it made its way into the.
Maybe it's changed. I don't.
It sounds like it's made its way into the capital improvement.
Yeah. So we presented the just beyond the scope of this commission, the capital improvement plan to the village board last night. This is any major capital project or equipment replacement in the next 5 years, anything over the $10,000 threshold, basically. So, you know, something as simple as replacing the wood chipper for the public works department, all the way up to what the annual street resurfacing budget is going to be. So one of the things that went in there, simply contingent upon funding, was what to do with the two parcels the village owns across the street here, the parking lot immediately at the corner, and then the grass lot right here. And one of the ideas David had put forward is to have a portion of that be a native planting area, in doing sort of just very basic cost assessments of what, you know, a new permeable paver parking lot, you know, fully designed, you know, town square style park would be. We want to, you know, from an administrative level, look at all different options. So David is going to be coming in on Thursday, or
I don't
via
have to
Zoom.
That.
Yeah.
Sorry. If that's what you, yeah.
No, just getting different ideas of what the potential options would be for these spaces. And discussing that in some further detail, just to sort of, we've not gotten any firm direction from the board as to where we're going to go, but just to have several ideas and concepts ready for once we get an okay, we can then execute the plan.
They're open to the idea.
Yep.
Good.
So how does the approval process work? So you said it was submitted last night, but they didn't vote on it?
No. Yeah. This is just sort of an outline plan. It's sort of, I would try to explain it, but I feel like I'd be getting into more wonky details. It's sort of like how at the federal level, Congress passes a budget that's just like a resolution that they say what they're going to do. And then the actual appropriations are the like laws that then follow. The capital plan is just sort of like that, just sort of concept of here's.
So that's
what
like
we're
a policy
forward. It's a policy document, yeah.
Okay.
And then it actually gets put into the annual budgets.
What's adopted by the annual budget typically in late March, early April, is what the village has the legal authority to spend for the next fiscal year.
Uh-huh. That makes sense. Yeah.
So, and then this.
So the capital plan is sort of like your priorities or.
Yeah, it's major expenditures of capital. Yes, major capital expenditures. Yeah.
Right.
And were there any significant things in there relevant to the sustainability? Am I putting you on the spot?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk about it another time.
I would need to, think and go through. Most of the projects I feel like are the, you know, permeable pavers, the charging stations, the solar, the stuff that I've been sort of given
more EVs for the fleet.
We've identified the next few vehicles. The next two set for replacement aren't for a couple years out, so nothing for next year. Yeah, I think the smallest, other than like a frontline marked police cars, smallest vehicle being replaced is like a larger pickup truck. So, but yeah, we're back to the native planting to come around. So two grants identified to apply for. The Missouri Prairie Foundation one is a pretty straightforward $800 grant. Can be used to restore a site, to create a new site. It looks like it's limited to plants native to the lower Midwest, which I don't know what exactly that constitutes.
Oh, yeah. We'd have to talk to them, see. Yeah.
Yeah. Looking at who's been awarded the grant, most of the Illinois communities seem to be
further south.
Yeah, just in or adjacent to the Metro East area. So hopefully our distance is not something that would disqualify us.
I thought I saw a few, but there were a few Illinois.
Yeah, it was a lot of like.
But further south.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
And then that one I included, I think, just sort of it's a pretty straightforward online form. And I think with that one, I would imagine, given the limitation in size, that would be focused to the two sort of small parcels we've identified along Hawthorne and Central and restoring those. The central one we'll refer to as the Butterfly Garden, I think is what it's been referred to, and then the existing previous much needed repair Hawthorne native planting site.
Yeah, that was my thinking.
Yeah. And then the ComEd one, the grant is open until I believe March, middle of March. March 13th. It just opened up yesterday. So this is a much larger project. They can award up to $10,000. Would need only a $5,000 match for the $10,000 award. So this, depending on sort of, you know, more board and administrative feedback, would be for some sort of bigger planting project.
If we did it, then that one would be a total of 15 grand.
Correct. And I mean, up to other, it can obviously be,
right,
you know, if the best project that we find is, you know, $6,000, we can chip in $2,000 and apply for $4,000. It's, you know.
So seeing as how the Missouri Prairie Foundation, and I suspect when they say the lower Midwest, they may be, I think we may come within that that area.
Yeah, I'm hoping they're just trying to cut off like the Northwoods.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so like northern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So I
think my hope is the Wisconsin Michigan border.
Yeah, right. I think we'd be okay with that. But that one's due next week.
Yes.
So it's pretty simple.
Yep.
We could just knock that off.
Yeah, I was going to apply for that this week, and
okay. Okay.
I'll shoot it to you to run
okay
through, make sure everything makes sense beforehand. And
yeah, I could. What is the 23rd? It's Wednesday.
23rd is next Friday.
Right. Next Friday. Okay. Yeah. So, if you take a crack at it, I should be able to look at it early next week. If you want feedback, and I can, by Friday, we should be good.
Perfect. I think that's all we've got in terms of, I don't know, do you have anything else for?
Well, the only question I would have is what in the world would we want to do for 15 grand? Is there anything or some sizable chunk thereof? Yeah. I mean, if we could go to the board and say.
That helps answer the question.
I think, yeah.
Okay, well then.
Yeah, I think that's probably.
See you on Thursday.
Thursday.
I said I didn't have a budget. Well, maybe I'll reflect myself and say that.
Maybe you do.
Maybe we did.
I think one of your initial emails had just sort of general dollar amount concepts in it, if I recall correctly.
I don't know. Maybe when I was talking about like the pump house, like cost of plants. You know, yeah. I mean, but still, 15 grand is a lot. I mean,
really, and again,
do something nice. You'd buy us a lot of plants, more plants than we would know what to do with. Then you're getting into like
landscaping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And then moving on to the staff reports and communications, I'll just go through this in order. So I included quarterly report for EV. I added a bit more information just to give you guys different sort of data. So I did show the growth in EV and hybrid vehicle registration over the last 3 years, just pulling the December registrations from the last three calendar years. So pretty significant noticeable increases, I'd say, in both. And this is just limited to the 60305 zip code. So, I mean, that's just within the village of River Forest. I did note the number of charging sessions and unique drivers for the charging station here. While the unique drivers has remained flat, the number of sessions has gone down, which means people were using it for 2 hours, unplugging, coming back, using it again for 2 hours at some other point. So they're using it less frequently, but for longer. And then I didn't map out, so by quarter, the number of charging installation permits. This is just people putting level two chargers in their garage at their own expense. Obviously not a huge amount, but, you know, one to three households every quarter deciding to do that.
That's us.
And yeah, so if somebody does have a level one EV, it's probably just, you know, a standard sort of larger outlet that they're just plugging it into, whereas these are pretty hardwired in, so we had developed a specific permit for them.
They're permanently installed.
Yes,
it's not like my hybrid. I plug into the 110 outlet and it's not that.
No, this is I think the, you know,
yeah,
standard level two runs from 8,000 for a wall mounted charger to, you know, 15,000-16,000 for some of the post chargers. So they're a pretty significant investment that people are making into their own homes, because, you know, it charges a lot quicker.
Faster.
And then I did want to go through the charts. So session charging length histogram for the last quarter. You can see it's completely different than previous quarters, where there was just this, you know, sort of line going really high up to sort of really building up to a big peak at 2 hours and then quickly tapering off beyond that. This is spread out a lot. Still some people leaving their cars plugged in for a long time, but if it's fully charged, they're going to be paying that overstay fee. So yeah, I had done the yearly one histogram, was this next one, where you can see sort of the remnants of that previous peak, where people would just go right to that 2 hours and then unplug. But the thing I found most interesting is just the energy usage, the kilowatt hours, and then there the green line is accumulated. Is that megawatt hours? But aside from the summer months, the last 3 months after we changed the charging fee have been the highest in terms of energy usage from the charging station. So even though the number of sessions is down, the amount of power going through is up, excluding July and August. So I thought that was...
Yeah, Seth, on that data of sessions, that you certainly that's a good number, because that's just such a radical change.
Yeah, so that's something
like
I think...
50%.
Yeah,
that
I think
doesn't seem right.
That's something I think we had been tracking the number of sessions before, just because it was a constant to sort of track usage. And now that the session lengths, people are just voluntarily charging for a longer period of time, I don't know if that's going to be as important of a metric moving forward. And come the next one of these quarterly reports, we're going to have 9 additional stations online at that point.
Or whatever this is.
So yeah, I think that's something where...
So that eight, I'm going to the 397 number of sessions. You think that that's just, they're sitting there longer charging?
Yeah, that's shown in these charts as well.
And so his interpretation is, whereas before people would come, they'd stay for 2 hours, leave, and then come back. Now since there's no incentive to do that, they just stay.
That makes sense.
Because the usage hasn't gone
rather
down.
Than, you know, charging for 2 hours twice a week for free, they're charging for 4 hours at one point in the week and then coming back a week later instead. Right. So I think the kilowatt hour usage from each station, sessions might be a good baseline. Just I'll play around with a lot of the numbers, and this might look entirely different next time, just since we'll have so many more stations to look at. But I, as a data chart, and I found this very interesting, and I'm sort of excited to see how it goes once we get the new stations online as well.
So on the last chart, the accumulated, is that over the year?
That's over the year.
So of course it's going to go up.
Yeah, that's just how the chart
right.
automatically generates. It does the by each month and then the accumulated. Yeah.
Am I crazy? There's no indication of capacity here, right? In other words, are the stations always in use?
We used to get this like automatically generated report where it showed like the time in use, the time blocked and idle, and the time blocked and the time idle.
Total time available. Okay.
They did something where I just suddenly couldn't get that data anymore. I'll play around with a few of the reports that they have and see what I can find.
I don't think it's critical. I was just curious because
it
would be interesting.
Yeah, I'll check next time just to see, because I know I can get that the charging length histogram is like an automatically generated one, and I can sort of break it down by 1 minute increments out to 1 hour increments. So, I'm sure in a couple months the next data set of this would be
going to have the capacity is going to go through the roof.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see how once the fast chargers are online, how everything's going to go. And then I guess that sort of transitions into the project updates. So the EV installing contractor was out again this week, getting all the last of the wire from the ComEd transformers. Hooked up. ComEd will still need to come out and put in the meters to the transformers, and then ChargePoint needs to do on-site activation for the fast chargers. But once those things are done, they'll be open for public use. Information will obviously be going out in the newsletters, everything else. I did get one call from a resident near Franklin saying that she didn't like the way they looked.
The ones at the metro station?
No, the ones over there. The fast chargers, because those are the bigger boxes.
Compared to a gas pump?
But other than that, no notes or issues, it seemed like, with the transformer stuff, the sort of interruptions to power in the immediate area. ComEd made surprisingly quick work at both locations, and just the CVS lot, which we're hopefully finally getting all the ComEd easement and everything else there squared away with the property owners, and then get that one started, and that should hopefully go fairly quickly as well.
So who actually owns them? We, or are we just trying to...
The chargers,
yeah,
we own them.
So who main we contract?
We maintain them. So what's very fortunate is just that everything is under warranty for 5 years with ChargePoint. So we've had a few malfunctions with this one. We've even had just as simple as a touch screen got cracked, and they've been they'll call me the second an interruption happens, basically, to let me know. They've had somebody out there to repair the screen within 1 week's time. And that was, it was still functioning. It was just,
Every 5 years it'll be on the village to do
it. Yes.
Did that look like vandalism? The crack screen?
No, I think it was just sort of
where,
somebody might've been pressing a little too hard or something like that. Yeah. And then, as the equipment becomes part of the village thing, it'll sort of factor into the the sort of replacement schedule, and this one will serve as a good sort of test barometer for how long they'll go out. Then beyond that, the solar panels for the Public Works Garage rooftop are ordered. They're finalizing the sort of electrical plans for the installation of that project, so should hopefully have news or a sort of more substantial update by our next month's meeting. And then we did submit an application for an additional round of funding for the permeable pavers for the parking lot here at Village Hall. So yeah, this year we'll be doing the drive and then the front parking lot. And then hopefully next year we can get additional funds to do the south sort of staff and parking lot right there.
Well, with last Thursday's downpour, how did that go?
I got one call from a resident of a basement backup issue. And that's one thing. We do also have basement protection subsidy program that I would encourage anyone to participate in. But yeah.
Seemed to clear. Did it clear?
Yeah, there was, a handful of just because we had added the extra leaf collection, a handful of just sort of manhole covers that got covered up with the leaves that staff went out on Monday and cleared off. But that honestly, with a combined sewer system, might have been a blessing because it's better to have the water in the street than in your basement coming up through the pipes. So, but beyond that, I had only had a call from one resident, which, was very fortunate given how quickly it came down. And I know Forest Park has had issues. They had issues this time when I lived in Forest Park. I've seen that happen when I lived there. So, even in Oak Park, my neighbor's basement backed up. So, from what I've heard, very fortunate with, how we absorbed, for lack of a better term, the stormwater this last.
Well, that's made a huge difference in my alley. It used to be puddled and flooded and all along the driveways and that, mine included. And yeah, you don't have that anymore.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah, makes a great difference. And then just last item I had. So change to our communications plan. The village is no longer doing the longer monthly newsletters. Everything is just going to be the weekly sort of scroll email newsletters, which honestly makes work easier for me because those I needed to have in like 2 weeks in advance rather than Monday to be written, printed on Friday. And we can just plug in a lot more sort of event pop, social media things. It gives, I think, a lot more flexibility with how we do things, not as much planning needed out. So I still have just a general rough draft of items going forward. And then Gary, with the paint care stuff, I also did add a subpage to the village website that I can send around for everyone under refuse and recycling so they can see if people do search paint disposal on the village website or latex paint disposal, that it can direct them to basically everything you had written up and they'll know where to go. But a short blurb will be going out in a few weeks for that.
Do you need something for February 13th?
If you've got something you'd like to run,
I think we should do a Bird City announcement. Yeah. Get it out there. I'll give you that.
Happy to announce we're pursuing it.
That it exists. We're shooting for it.
Okay.
And the kind of highlights.
And look forward to the proclamation and all that kind of
thing. And the events, Migratory Bird Day, that kind of thing.
Good.
Yeah. And
when do you need it for the 13th?
The 9th then.
Okay.
So yeah, if you get it to me, over the previous weekend, that Monday morning I can just forward it along and
okay,
we'll be good to go. And then general policy, I think I discussed last month, is if there's ever just, we don't have anything ready for that week, we're going to be promoting the community solar program and the compost program just to encourage residents to participate in both of those. Any Migratory Bird Day, Pollinator Week, Monarch Butterfly Day. I know our previous commissioner, Luis Mezatesta, had sort of written up a whole bunch of sort of these days that sort of tied to sustainability. If there's ever one that just sort of easily fits in and makes sense, I can always plug those in as well. But yeah, that is really all I had from my end. So
I had a quick question just to, I forgot to ask. If I were to draft a letter to send to the Wednesday Journal, how do you prefer that I go about that?
As an individual or discussing something that the commission is doing?
The latter.
You can
send it to you.
Send it to first. Me just for a quick thing, and then yeah, just note that you're you can note that you're a member of the commission.
Yeah. And it would just be about kind of, again, what we're trying to accomplish and how, and yeah.
Yeah. And I think Luis, again, had done something similar.
She always did as an individual.
Yeah. And yeah.
Does the commission have a preference?
I mean, I think as long as you're not taking, as long as it's informational and you're not taking a stand on anything, just ask Seth to look at it. I think that's fine.
If I were to write as an individual, could it, I mean, then it did have a slightly different tone. Is that, yeah.
But again, if it's informational, there's not much tone.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I think it's more like if you're coming out with a stand on
critiquing something,
lights out or weighing in on something, then it has to be your personal opinion.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Unless we've voted and agreed on it.
That's it. Yeah.
There's one last thing, which I just want to bring up. So tonight at the Village Board of Oak Park meeting, they are discussing a survey that came out from, I don't know if you're aware of this, Lakeshore Recycling.
I did see that.
Yeah. With a big breakdown of anything. And I'm just wondering, is that something that would be available for us to do? Is this more something that they commissioned?
This is something that they commissioned. Looking into it, I saw it as well. They basically monitored the materials in, I think, 60 households' waste over several weeks or months to get a breakdown of what materials are going in what.
So it was just representative. It wasn't the whole village.
No, it was, I think,
sampling.
Yeah, so many samples per sort of geographic area of town.
Okay. Yeah, it looked interesting. Well, maybe there's something for us to learn from that, so we could take a look at it.
Yeah, they've got a whole spreadsheet or like PowerPoint presentation, I mean, and sort of memo of it online on the Oak Park website.
Just a personal announcement. This is Book's last meeting. He goes to Leader Dog on the end of the month.
Oh,
30th. So,
well, congratulations.
We'll see how he does there.
Uh huh.
If he doesn't work out, I'm taking him.
Yeah.
He'll go to work for me.
Did you let everyone in the police department know after our last agenda meeting last week?
I walk by every time with them. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You knew we were talking about you, didn't
you? Yeah.
He did.
Congratulations, recent graduate.
Well, from me, no, he goes to school. He's going to college now.
Oh, this is prep school.
I just raised him, so it's generally a 4-month program with them, and then another 3 weeks with the client if they get that far.
Mm.
So
okay,
I just raised him. They teach him how to actually be a leader now.
Okay, but you give him good manners.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
He had him until recently. He's getting to be a teenager.
So work in progress. Yeah. Different set of challenges.
All right. And with that, we need a motion to adjourn.
So moved. That's my whole job here.
Second.
I'll second.
Same as the minutes there. Let's go bottom to top then. Commissioner Marty.
Approved. Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt.
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlec.
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon.
Yes.
Co-Chair Charette.
Yes.
We are adjourned at 8:24.